This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, you heard the headline, peace on the horizon for Ukraine and Russia. Great news to start the show, is it not? Wow. How about that? I like it. I like it a lot. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. It's going to be a busy one with this breaking peace deal news. There's also, I guess, they intercepted civilian jets around Mar-a-Lago. The president is in Washington, though, today. There's peace potentially between Russia and Ukraine. I don't know if there's peace between the president and Congressman Tom Massie, however. So we're waiting to find out about that, as the battle over the CR, the continuing resolution, rages on Capitol Hill right now with a lot of disagreement among Republicans in the House over this. But chicken prices, egg prices have gone down, so that's a good thing. And a real controversy emerging over whether or not to deport a person with a green card over their views regarding Hamas and Israel. So we're going to talk about that as well today on the show. And it's going to be a busy, busy one. And later, I'm really excited about this. Susan Crabtree is going to join us. Today's the day her book comes out, Fool's Gold, about California. And a lot of controversy she's exposed about Gavin Newsom, that slime ball, and his links to communist China. So we're going to talk about that with her today. And if you're wondering why I'm wearing a tie, I did a Newsmax hit a couple hours ago, and I just have not had a chance to change. So that's why I'm wearing a tie to start the show today. Will I continue wearing a tie throughout the rest of the afternoon? Because it really depends on my mood and how things go. All right. Very good. And if you're wondering, like I am, about Josh Shapiro and whatever happened with that whole scandal regarding that legislative aide who resigned and the $300,000 settlement that was paid to a woman who accused a top Shapiro aide of sexual harassment. Well, our friends over at Broad and Liberty, Todd Shepard, who is their investigative reporter, has a great piece about this. Emails are missing. A week's worth of emails just gone. Yes, gone. Isn't that amazing how that happens? When it comes to Democrats, emails just disappear. Same thing with Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles. Emails just disappear like they never existed. Text messages disappear. It's absolutely just something that occurs with Democrats, and I guess we'll find out more about that. But the Shapiro thing is not going away anytime soon, and he wants to run for president in 2028, and he needs to be held accountable for this. So we're gonna get a little bit further into that as the show goes on as well. And clearly, there's a lot of concern over the stock market and tariffs and new tariffs announced regarding Canada today and the battles around all of that. So, yeah, it's fun times. An easy, easy day for show prep. All you got to do is just spend 9 hours watching the moves from the White House, which change like every 2 seconds, and then you're good. Then you got it all covered. But if you're trying to just, I don't know, plan out a show And then 5 minutes before the show, what happens is the White House press secretary comes out and makes some announcements. And then you get Marco Rubio coming out and saying that they've achieved peace with Ukraine. You realize you can try and plan as much as you want. But in this administration, in this day and age, and for the next 4 years, it's going to be 258. It all goes out the window and it all changes. So with that, why don't we begin with peace? Because I like peace. Peace is a good thing. Peace makes me happy. The idea of peace between Israel, between Ukraine and Russia would be a great thing and something that we can all get behind, obviously. And if this happens, if this occurs, then the real question is, how soon will they give Donald Trump the Nobel Peace Prize? I'm kidding. They never will. You know that. They never will. And if he were to get the Nobel Peace Prize, then the left would start burning the Peace Prize like they're burning Teslas right now. So don't hold your breath anytime soon for that. No doubt about it. But I'm excited about the prospect of this war with Ukraine and Russia ending once and for all. I really am. I'm excited for it because I think that what we need to have is we need to have once and for all the risk of global thermonuclear war be left for the movies. And that's it. And just the movies and nothing more than that. I don't want it. You don't want it. Our kids don't want it. Nobody wants it. So here, let me set the stage for you. So Marco Rubio and Mike Waltz are in Saudi Arabia. The Saudis are hosting this summit. And what the secretary announced a short time ago was that they have achieved a peace deal. Now, Matt, I don't know if we have if these clips are loaded yet, but can we play the audio of these that I sent you?
I do have the audio at the very least.
All right, let's play the audio. Let's start with Secretary Rubio. We made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted. This is a big deal, breaking news right as we get on the air today. Take a listen.
Today, we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. I want to personally thank, we both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And you know, hopefully, we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
Good. Excellent news. Excellent news. How did we get here? We got here because the president said, made it very, very clear to Ukraine, we're going to cut off funding for you if you don't agree to peace. And he also said to Russia, you know, listen, if we're going to impose sanctions on you if you don't agree to peace. That's how we got here. Here's what Mike Waltz, Congressman Mike Waltz, who's now the national security advisor to the president, said, how they got this done and where we've gone from now, whether or not if the war is going to end to how the war is going to end. Take a listen.
Just think about it. We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end. And this was an important first step. And that was under President Trump's leadership. He has literally moved the entire global conversation to where we have very senior Ukrainian delegation with us today. We've had engagements with our Russian counterparts. And now it's how the war is going to end. And that's under President Trump's leadership.
Good. Excellent stuff. Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, the other controversial question today that we're dealing with is whether or not this student should be ejected from the United States of America because of his pro-Hamas views. Now, he is a permanent legal resident. He has a green card, but he's not a United States citizen. Now, obviously, you can express whatever we consider Hamas to be terrorists. Certainly I do. But you can express whatever support you want for them as a United States citizen, and you won't get deported because you're a United States citizen. So we all understand that. We know that. The question is whether or not an immigrant can do it. And I don't mean an illegal immigrant. I mean somebody who's here lawfully and legally, who has a green card and is going through the process of getting citizenship. In this case, is married to an American citizen. And I don't like his views, but that's not really the point. The point is whether or not it's legal, it's legal, but is it constitutional? Should it occur? And the answer of whether or not it's legal is probably yes. It probably is, as I'll get into with you and I'll explain in some detail. The real question, though, is should it be done. I'm not talking about actions here. I'm talking about speech. Should we deport people based on their speech if they are here legally and lawfully because we don't like what they're saying? So let me play for you what Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, just said a short time ago. She concluded the White House press briefing. We have a zero tolerance policy. Let's cue up cut number one here. Caroline Leavitt, take a listen.
Under the Immigration and Nationality Act, the Secretary of State has the right to revoke a green card or a visa for individuals who serve or are adversarial to the foreign policy and national security interests of the United States of America. And Mahmoud Khalil was an individual who was given the privilege of coming to this country to study at one of our nation's finest universities and colleges. And he took advantage of that opportunity, of that privilege, by siding with terrorists, Hamas terrorists who have killed innocent men, women, and children. This is an individual who organized group protests that not only disrupted college campus classes and harassed Jewish American students and made them feel unsafe on their own college campus, but also distributed pro-Hamas propaganda, flyers with the logo of Hamas. That is what the behavior and activity that this individual engaged in. And I have those flyers on my desk. They were provided to me by the Department of Homeland Security. I thought about bringing them into this briefing room to share with all of you, but I didn't think it was worth the dignity of this room to bring that pro-Hamas propaganda. But that's what this individual distributed on the campus of Columbia University, and this administration is not going to tolerate individuals having the privilege of studying in our country and then siding with pro-terrorist organizations that have killed Americans. We have a zero-tolerance policy for siding with terrorists, period.
Okay. Now, it's important to note that none of the actions that the individual has done have been accused of being terrorist. In other words, we're not saying he's a terrorist. We're saying he's expressing support for a terrorist organization being Hamas. Now, can you kick somebody out for this? That's the first question. Can you legally do it? The answer, by all accounts, seems to be yes. Although it gets a little gray when you're talking about a permanent legal resident or somebody with a green card. So the initiative follows two executive orders signed by President Donald Trump. The first, enacted January 20th, states, "The policy of the United States is to protect its citizens from aliens who intend to commit terrorist acts, threaten our national security, and espouse hateful ideology." The second executive order, signed January 29th, mandates the United States crack down on anti-Semitism by prosecuting, removing, or otherwise holding to account the perpetrators of unlawful anti-Semitic harassment and violence. The order directs the Secretaries of State, Education, and Homeland Security to conduct investigations and remove aliens who endorse designated foreign terrorist organizations. All right, so Hamas is a designated foreign terrorist organization. Also a very important point to note from a legal perspective. Okay. In the second order's fact sheet, President said he intends to deport Hamas sympathizers, cancel the student visas of all Hamas sympathizers on college campuses. Jenin Yowns, a civil liberties attorney, said the term is used to apply to students who simply support Palestinian rights or who think Palestinians have some right of resistance against occupation. The government has always had the ability to prosecute people who break laws, including providing material support for terrorism. What is happening now, she says, is clearly an attempt to punish people for having and expressing the wrong ideas. Now, first thing I'll say is this. When you're a guest in someone's country, I always say the first thing to think about is common sense. So if I was in, you know, if I was in Italy and I was a guest in their country and I had the visa and I was there, and say I was advocating for, I don't know, Italy to be taken over by the Moors, like they sacked Italy many, many years ago. And, you know, and I wanted the Italian government to be overthrown. I wanted the Sicilian government to be overthrown, you know, the mafia, whatever. That would be stupid from a common sense perspective. But we're not Italy. We're the United States of America, obviously. So if somebody's a guest in our country with a visa and they have a permanent legal status, the question is, does the Constitution then apply to them? Now, Professor Eugene Volokh, who's a professor of law at the University of California, he's a libertarian-minded professor of law, says that the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952 provides for the denial of entry and the deportation of any alien who endorses or espouses terrorist activity or persuades others to endorse or espouse terrorist activity or support a terrorist organization. So the law there is pretty clear on that fact. This is the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952. Whether or not that law is constitutional or not has not really been tested fully, but I'll get into that in just a second. Now, there is a federal statute that is on the books, so you can't make the argument that the president is exceeding his constitutional powers. That was somebody who said at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, our friends at FIRE, they said that. They said, clearly it is based on federal statutory authority, so one cannot make the argument that the president is exceeding his constitutional powers. But the question remains whether the statute itself and the executive order are constitutional. So remember, something can be lawful, but not necessarily constitutional, and that's the question. So non-citizens with any immigration status at all, including unauthorized immigrants, have the same First Amendment rights that U.S. citizens have insofar as they have the same protection against criminal penalties, criminal investigations, or civil law enforcement. However, that doesn't apply to the deportation process. In other words, if you were to say to this student at Columbia, if you were to arrest him for his protests, that would be clearly unconstitutional, because when you're in this country legally, that you have the same constitutional rights that apply to you. Not if you're here illegally, but if you're here legally. So if you have a green card, you have a visa, you're here, it's okay. Then the constitutional rights are there for you while you're in this country. That's been kind of a longstanding understanding. But deportation, though, is a different matter. So while it would be completely, no question, unlawful to arrest somebody who is here with a green card for their free speech views, kicking their butt out of the country, family show, got to watch myself. That's the question. That's the question. That's the rub here. Now, on surface value, you'd say, well, no, it's up to us. We have the right to kick out anybody we want. If we don't like your views, you're not a citizen of the United States of America. You don't get to stay. That's just how it goes. There's a privilege to being a citizen, which means that the government can't punish you for your speech. In this case, you would argue the government's not punishing this person. The government is simply removing this person from the United States of America. That would be the legal argument. And there's, decades of legal precedent and case law that describe the complexity surrounding the constitutionality of the catch and revoke policy. It's not the first time this has happened, actually. There was an opinion in a 1945 case on this that said, once an alien lawfully enters and resides in this country, he becomes invested with the rights guaranteed by the Constitution to all people within our borders. But the Supreme Court ruled in 1952, legal aliens could be deported for membership in the Communist Party without violating the First Amendment. The decision was made at a time when the First Amendment didn't protect the right of American citizens to espouse terrorism and when people were prosecuted and convicted for teaching Marxist classes. So back then, in the 1950s, the Red Scare and everything else, we had this whole process, and you remember there was McCarthyism and everything else, right? So if you espouse communism, you could get in trouble. Now, we've since have realized that that was wrong, and you can espouse any nutty view you want, and in the court of public opinion, you should be allowed to. I would no sooner want to arrest Bernie Sanders for espousing his Marxist communist beliefs than I would want to espouse that, than I would want to arrest Donald Trump for espousing his anti-communist policies. Right? I mean, you would not want that. But again, we're talking about the case of somebody who is a legal permanent resident, has a green card, and whether or not they can be deported. In this case, this guy, Mahmoud Khalil, is a Palestinian graduate student. Department of Homeland Security spokesperson says he led activities aligned to Hamas. Now faces deportation despite holding a green card, not just a student visa, and that this is the first of many to come. The problem that I think this opens up, and I'll be honest with you on this in terms of why something can be legal, even potentially constitutional, but still be problematic, is it's easy in this case to say this guy is pro-Hamas, kick him out. He's terrorizing people on college campuses. This is not the kind of person we want in the United States of America. What happens if the Democrats are in charge, though, and they say that about Jewish students who are here, say, studying from Israel, or Israelis who are here in the United States with a green card, and then now you've got Bernie Sanders as president, who's decided that Israel is a terrorist country, and Israel and the Mossad, they're terrorist groups. And so that person who's standing up and saying that Israel should be protected, they are espousing terrorism, they're siding with a genocidal country, and they should be removed from the United States of America. Now, obviously, we would all be rightly outraged if that were to be the case. And could you see Democrats doing that? Absolutely. No question about it. They definitely would do that. Now, you could get into the weeds and you could argue, well, yeah, but the difference is Hamas is a designated terrorist organization. The president has the power to designate terrorist organizations. That's why he just designated the cartel a terrorist organization. So I think the problem that this opens up, if you start deporting people based on their political views or their speech, is that in the future, you can definitely see the day when Democrats start doing that to the people that we agree with. And we turn around and we say, well, yeah, but that's just the nature of it. And then all of a sudden, all these Israeli students are deported from the United States of America. All these Israeli American citizens who are here, green card holders are here in the United States of America, and they get deported because the left has decided that Israel, they are the genocidal country, and we don't want any of them here espousing their pro-Israeli views because Israel is killing Palestinians and blah, blah, blah. And that's the problem. That's the issue that this case really raises. Now, it's going to be argued before a federal judge tomorrow. The deportation against Mahmoud Khalil is on hold. Again, it's important to note he's not been accused of doing anything violent. He's been accused of being part of a group that supports Hamas. His lawyers are going to argue that he supports the Palestinians and not Hamas directly. The government is going to turn around and argue that his actions lead to activities aligned with Hamas, even though they're not directly necessarily espousing Hamas. But nevertheless, it's still pro-Hamas, and so therefore you can kick him out. And the case is going to get argued. And it's perfectly legal to deport him, as I see it, under the law. It's perfectly legal to do so. I don't think there's any gray area to this whatsoever. Although I do think, though, if you have a green card, your legal protections do, under the law, go up over whether or not you just hold, say, a student visa, for example. Because it's a higher bar to be a permanent legal resident of the United States of America, permanent being the word there. But it opens up, it does open up a very problematic future scenario in which case people are kicked out of this country for siding with the people that we like, meaning us on our side of the political aisle. And that's what scares me. I have no doubts that legally they can do it. And the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, posted to X yesterday the following and said this: we will be revoking the visas and or green cards of Hamas supporters in America so they can be deported. Because the story was ICE arrests a Palestinian activist who helped lead these Columbia University protests. I'm not justifying in any way, shape or form the protests at Columbia University. I'm not justifying them. The question is whether or not it's constitutional to remove them from the country. The answer to that probably is yes. I mean, probably, yeah, it is. It probably is, to be perfectly honest with you. I just see a future scenario where we'll wind up regretting doing this down the road because, as always, whenever it seems like we open up a door to something, the left just opens it up even wider. And, you know, it just becomes a situation where you turn around and you go, oh, I kind of wish we'd never gone down this road, because if we didn't, then maybe they wouldn't be trying to do this now. Now, here's an argument for the deportation of this student. Again, this is complicated. It's a complicated case. These things are never as black and white as they seem. If it was an American citizen, then there's no ambiguity here. You can stand up, you can You can fly a Nazi flag. You can scream, you know, death to Israel. You can scream. You can do any of those things you want. There's no debate about that. You can do that. In fact, I would argue that anybody who even says that that's hate speech is out of line and wrong. As much as I despise that speech, it's protected speech, period. For American citizens, no question about it. You should not be arrested for it. You should not be fined for it. You shouldn't. The government should take no punitive actions against you whatsoever. None. In my opinion, none. If you're an American citizen. In some cases, I would argue it's even better to display. Let your hate fly and show everybody so that we can see how crazy and nutty you are. And it's like the case of the Illinois Nazis, you know, the Skokie, Illinois, and the Supreme Court ruling there. You let the Nazis march and people see how crazy they are. And the Blues Brothers drive over and they wind up falling off the bridge and into the river because we hate Illinois Nazis. It's obviously the way to do it. But when you're talking about somebody who's a guest in the country, the same principle doesn't necessarily apply, because the argument of deportation is not that deportation is necessarily a punishment. It can be, but it's not always a punishment. So, for example, somebody gets arrested. This has really happened too. This is a mafioso, a don, a mafia don is arrested and is found guilty of being a mafia don. Here in the United States, permanent legal resident, but is the head of the mafia, and they deport him back to Italy because he's a citizen of Italy, and that's part of his punishment. Yeah, you could do that. That's perfectly legal. Now, if that same person was just advocating for the mafia versus being part of the mafia, it would also be both legal and probably constitutional to deport that person for being in this country espousing views that the United States of America does not agree with. Common sense tests would say if you're a guest in a country and you're not a citizen of that country, you'd be smart to play by the rules, because they don't have to keep you here. They don't have to let you stay. It's not your country, even if you have a visa or you. But despite all that, should we do it is really the question. Should that be done? Or is this the kind of thing that blows up in our face in the future? Is this the kind of thing that we will wind up regretting in the future if a Democrat's in the White House and says all these Israeli students who are advocating against, who are advocating for the genocide of the Palestinians? Again, this is obviously not what I believe, it's what they say. They should not be allowed to remain in this country. And I, the president, I'm designating, you know, Israel to be a terrorist country, and We're gonna deport all these pro Israel, pro genocidal students and even non students, but whatever, just anybody. And we would all agree that that would be disastrous. And could I see them doing that? 100%, absolutely, I could. Andy McCarthy, writing at National Review, his argument for deportation says, I believe the administration has the authority to deport him based on the terrorist activity provision of Section 1227, on the theory that his activities endorse or espouse the activities of Hamas, which has long been a formally designated terrorist organization under federal law. I do not believe his activities in the U.S. should be deemed lawful speech and association. If reports are correct, he was active as an agent of agitators who carried out lawless activities. Now, if that's the case, that has not been proven in court yet, well, then there's no ambiguity now, because now you've gone from speech to action, obviously. You know, if you are helping people who are committing terrorist activities, well, now it's no longer a free speech argument. Now it's an association argument. The association test is a lot lower than the speech test. If you are associating with groups who are committing terrorism, then your freedom of association under the Constitution goes away. Whether you're a citizen of the United States or not, that goes away. You have the right of association when those groups are lawful and legal, not when they're illegal. And here's the distinction. If the group is doing something that is terrorist, simply having views that are terrorist in nature as a matter of opinion, like, for example, I mean, I think Marxism is terrorist, but by a philosophy, I think the philosophy of Marxism is just about as terrorist as you get. But you could be a Marxist, and I don't believe that that means that you are associating with a known terrorist group. That's different. However, if you are part of a group that uses violence to get to throw about Marxism, bring about Marxism and overthrow the government, that's different. You're associating with a group that is a terrorist group. And again, that's the distinction. It's the difference between simply advocating for ideas versus being part of something that is unlawful because you're going beyond ideas and speech and even just mere association. Being associated with a criminal organization, you can't argue under the First Amendment why freedom of association. And that doesn't work that way. If you can't associate with illegal groups, because the test is very clear on that point, your freedom of association is not the same when you're associating with a group that is committing illegal activities versus your association with, say, the Knights of Columbus. And I think everybody with a brain can understand that point. So really what I think is going to be argued in federal court is that if it's just speech, now you got a real debate about whether or not we want to start deporting people for their views and what they're saying. Because in my opinion, that opens up a door that will never close and will someday absolutely 100% we will regret. No doubt about that. If this guy, Khalil, is actually working with people who are agitators and carrying out lawless activity, well, then it's not even a question. And then he has no standing in my mind whatsoever, because you've crossed that bridge from just speech. Complicated case that will be played out in court tomorrow. The burden will be on the government would be to prove his association with this group, and that his association with this group was more than just simply saying the same things that they say. But again, his burden, the burden the government has to meet when it's somebody who's not a citizen, is a lot lower. It's a lot lower than if it were a United States citizen. And then the other issue then also becomes, we're not talking about arresting him or putting him in prison. We're talking about deporting him, which again is viewed in the eyes of the law as a punishment, yes, but also as something the government has the right to do. If you are not, if you don't play by what the government views as pro-America, the United States of America has no right, has no requirement, I should say, to keep you in this country. There's one more aspect of this, too, which I think is very, very important about this whole case, too, which is this. If you're an American citizen and you denounce the United States of America, and there is a process in the Constitution whereby you can literally give up your citizenship and you can denounce the United States of America, and you could turn in your passport and you can say, I give up my citizenship. You have the right to do that as a United States citizen. But once you do that, then all bets are off, because now you're no longer protected like a United States citizen under the eyes of the law and the Constitution. So a tricky court case. We'll see how it plays out in court tomorrow. There's obviously, like anything else, I don't think these things are as black and white as they ever seem to be. They really don't. And it'll be interesting what the judge rules, and then whether or not there'll be an appeal, and whether or not ultimately this will be something that is decided by the Supreme Court. But I will say, and I've been reading about this all day, and you know I'm an advocate for freedom of speech. There's not even any issues about that. I think we all can agree on that point. But I don't think the law's on his side here. I don't think precedent's on his side. I don't think the Constitution's on his side. So it's really just a matter of whether or not we want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, can we do it? Can we deport this guy, Khalil? I think there's not even a question about it. Yes. Should we, though, is the question. And then on that sense, I would say, if you can prove association with terrorist groups beyond just simply speech you don't like or advocacy of causes you don't like, that's a game changer. That's a differentiator besides just simply airing of things the United States of America doesn't like, because the United States of America's opinions on things change all the time, depending on who's in office, depends on what we mean by the United States of America. So when all these things, the real test has to be, what would a president AOC do to Jewish students on campus who are here with student visas and Jewish citizen, Jewish permanent residents of the United States of America who are really Israeli citizens who are here as guests in this country? Would they start mass deportations of the Jews, quite frankly? And that's, you know, that because they view Israel as a terrorist country. They view Israel as a terrorist organization. That's the area of this case, which I say we got to be very, very cautious about. All right. The other issue, too, is whether or not there's going to be an agreement on the continuing resolution and whether or not there's going to be an agreement between Republicans to decide to either kick the can down the road, so to speak, or just kick the can down the road long enough for the Democrats to kill it and then take the blame. 855-839-1210. If you want to weigh in on all this, on X at Rich Zeoli, feel free to do. And we got some great guests coming up on the show, including Susan Crabtree, her new book's out in California, Gavin Newsom and his links to China and the Chinese Communist Party. It's going to be a great show for you today, as it is every day. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
By the way, the president just got a Tesla at the White House, and we're going to load the video for you. It's a red Tesla, Model X, I believe. And he took a crack at Biden, saying, I don't think Biden can even get into this car. So, yeah, we'll play that for you in just a matter of moments. And the big news today, of course, is a peace deal announced, Ukraine accepting this. And now we're waiting on Russia to accept it. We're streaming live on YouTube. You can join the chat where people are saying that it's my voice is a little low. On the YouTube chat, I don't know, and someone else saying that my hair is unconstitutional. Jonathan Turner saying that. I don't know why. I did the blow dryer today for the Newsmax appearance, but I didn't have a hair and makeup person because I wasn't at Fox News. You see, that's the difference. When you go to, I don't know if I mentioned this, I was on Fox News yesterday. If you go up there, if I didn't, I apologize. I got to try to be better on the whole self-promotion thing. So can we jump into Fox News because the president's speaking at the White House right now? Can we take a quick pop in on this?
I'm not allowed to drive because I haven't driven a car in a long time, and I love to drive cars. But I'm going to have it at the White House, and I'm going to let my staff use it. I'm going to let people at the place use it. And they all are all excited about that. I'm not allowed to use it. Can you believe it? One of my great things in life is that I can, you know, I like to drive cars, but I'm not allowed to. And I will say this one, the Cybertruck, I bought for a very special young woman. Do you know? I'm sure you've never heard of her, Kai. And she's a great golfer, and she puts the clubs in the back, and I guess it's a very safe deal. She loves it. And I actually bought one about a year ago, and she loves it. And it's very safe. It's very strong, heavy. It's all steel, stainless steel. But the cars themselves, so what is this one, Mila?
That's the Model Y.
That's a Model Y, so I have a lot of information to put into price.
Yeah.
I want to make a good deal here. You know, I do notice this. They have one, which is $35,000, which is pretty low. What is that all about?
Yeah, it's. I guess we wanted to make the point that Teslas aren't all expensive. You can get a Tesla for as little as $35,000.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank the president for his support. This means a lot. And also thank everyone out there who is supporting Tesla. It's really terrible that there's so much violence being perpetrated against people at Tesla, Tesla supporters, Tesla owners, Tesla stores. These are innocent people who've done nothing wrong.
But nobody's been, it hasn't been, there's been some physical damage, a little damage, and we want to keep it that way because I don't want to say this, it's just not the appropriate, but law enforcement's out there watching everybody. We don't want this to happen. And not to somebody that's been so good to our country. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to go through this. And we can't let it happen. And aside from that, I happen to love the product. It's a lot nicer if you also happen to love the product. And he's done a really good job. Go ahead, Peter.
Is there, I guess this is for Elon Musk, is there a discount? President Trump wrote the art of the deal. Is there any kind of room for negotiating?
Let me answer that. I know he'd give me a discount, but honestly, I don't want to ask for one. You know, I'm president, so I want to pay full price.
And what is your message, President Trump, buying a new car while there are some folks who will see this clip at home and they are struggling with their retirement accounts, down at the moment, uncertainty about work ahead?
Well, I think they're going to do great. I think our country had to do this. We had to go and do this. They've taken away, other countries have taken away our business. They've taken away our jobs. I did it initially very strongly against, as you know, China and some others in the first term. And it was a very successful term. We had no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. And then we had COVID, which we had to straighten out. So I didn't want to be doing
anything. All right. We just wanted to get Peter Ducey's questions in to President Trump, who is supporting Tesla's burning in Tesla.
I'm sorry.
Dealership.
It looks like they're jumping out of this. Let's do this. We have a video clip of the president with the red Model S Tesla. Before I play that, though, we'll cue that up. I just want to say, I think it's ridiculous what they're doing to Teslas right now. And 5 minutes ago, they were all mandating that we had to buy one and drive one. Now, I guess the left is mandating that we have to burn them, sell them, boycott them. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? But were we not just having a debate 5 minutes ago about whether or not we all had to buy electric cars? Literally, 5 minutes ago. I mean, in New Jersey, His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, that idiot mandated it. Newsom mandated it. They were all these Tim Walz, as governor of Minnesota, mandated it too. All these lefties who said you had to buy electric cars. Tesla is the biggest electric car manufacturer in the United States of America. So now I guess they're going to mandate that you cannot buy a Tesla. You have to buy it. You really want to stick it to Elon Musk. Everybody has to buy a gas car. Ooh, maybe the Democrats will pass that law next. Just to stick it to Elon, everybody has to buy a gas-powered vehicle. By 2035, all cars made in the United States must be gas-powered. I can see them doing that. Just to stick it to him. Just to teach him a lesson. Here's the president with the red Tesla. It's a sharp-looking car. Again, I thought about buying one. I told you this a couple years ago. I almost did. I came really close. This is before Elon Musk ever really even got active in politics. I wanted it for the self-driving feature, not for the electric vehicle feature. I don't want an electric car for a number of reasons. It's fine if you do. I'm not arguing with you. I mean, Opelka has one. He loves his. I have three kids. I cannot imagine the scenario in my mind where we're at the rest stop on the AC Expressway, we're at the Farley Plaza trying to charge this friggin' thing, and my kids are going crazy. So I'm all about gas-powered vehicles, but I do like the autonomous driving feature, the self-driving feature. That's why I'd want a Tesla, for that reason, and that reason alone. But now I may buy one just to support Elon Musk. I don't have the money to buy one, but if I did, if I was going to buy a car, maybe I would. Which, by the way, reminds me, if anyone's listening from the sales department, how about a Tesla sponsorship for the show? How about that? I'm just throwing that out there. Have we thought about that? A Tesla sponsorship for the show. Could be nice. I mean, I'd happily endorse them, especially for all the reasons of what they're going through right now. So somebody should be calling Tesla. I'm just saying. All right, here's the video of the president. Take a listen.
That's beautiful. This is a different panel than I've had. Everything's computer. That's beautiful. Wow.
No, is this just a brake?
Yeah, it's just a brake and an accelerator.
I don't want to
give yourself some heart attack.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Can you start it?
Should I? I'll start it again.
Do you want to actually drive it? Okay.
You don't want me to drive it, do you?
I saw Biden do a.
I'll tell you, it could be.
Yeah, but it's very easy to drive.
That's you're the only one that saw it.
So it's like driving a golf cart, basically.
I know, it's very simple.
It's very simple. So it's literally like the golf cart that goes really fast. There's no gears.
This is really amazing. Think Biden could get into that car?
I don't think he could. I certainly don't think he could deal with the autonomous driving or the self-driving. But I grew up watching Knight Rider. That was one of my favorite shows as a kid. Loved that show when I was a kid. So I want a self-driving car. I want a car that talks to me and does a lot of things. I want kid, basically. I mean, that show was so great. Hasselhoff in his prime, in my opinion. A lot of people will tell me it's the lifeguard show, but I think he was in his prime, Knight Rider, by far. That was prime Hoff right there. His hair, spectacular in that show. Every episode was thrilling. Kit was way ahead of his time. way ahead of his time. But you think about it, right? What they're doing to Tesla, what the left is doing to Tesla, and they hate him. They hate Elon Musk so much, and now they're hate mobiles. I played you that clip yesterday, that lunatic. In fact, Matt, let's get that clip back from yesterday, too. We'll play it in the 4 o'clock hour. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. The issue, I think, is that the hatred for Elon Musk is so palpable that you've got people like Jason Bateman, the actor, selling his Tesla because he said it looks like a giant Trump bumper sticker. This other lunatic on social media yesterday who said it was a hate mobile. I say, I want to endorse Tesla. I want to endorse the local Tesla dealership. Maz, you know, my buddy Maz has bought several Teslas from them. I think they're in Cherry Hill, if I'm not mistaken. There's probably a number of Tesla dealerships around here. But that's the perfect opportunity, because I was going to buy one years ago. I told you the story. I sent them $1,000 as a down payment on the Tesla Model X, which was supposed to be the one that everybody could afford. I think it was $35,000 or something. It took a year. I never heard a damn word from them. And then it took me, all these hoops to get the $1,000 back. But that was years ago. Years ago. I'm all in now. I'm all in. I don't care about having an electric car. You want to rally around Tesla? This is the time. Am I right? This is the time to do it. Holy cow. Tell you what. It's derangement syndrome is what it is. It's derangement syndrome. Their hatred of Elon. They just hate him so much because he's siding with Trump and because of Doge. Now, the other point on this issue of the deporting this student for his pro, and I'm going to use air quotes here, pro Hamas views. I want to just bring up another potential scenario for you in the future. How many times have people on our side of the aisle been accused of being Russian sympathizers? Like, for example, Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Tulsi's an American citizen, so she's good. Tucker Carlson, Russian sympathizer. But Tucker Carlson's an American citizen, so he's good. But what happens if you have, I mean, Elon Musk has been a citizen for 22 years, but let's say Elon wasn't. Let's say Elon was still a legal permanent resident of the United States of America. He didn't get a citizenship, and he still had South African citizenship. And the left is in charge, and they decide that Elon and his pro-Russia views are antithetical to America, and we're going to deport him because he's siding with a terrorist country, being Russia, a country that interfered in our election, blah, 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 and all the other things. And we're going to deport Elon Musk. Can they do it? If he were, in this hypothetical scenario, still a lawful permanent resident? Yes. Would it be legal? Yeah. Would it be constitutional? Probably. Should they do it? No. This is the problem with deporting this kid in New York City. It's very easy when it's something like a group you don't like or a group that you think is so obvious. But these things have a lot of nuances in them. So like Brian Zelensky was saying on X, listen, if it's legal to deport him, deport him. If the left's going to weaponize it anyway, so just let them weaponize it. I said, yeah, but how many times have we said that and then it's come back to bite us in the face because once that door's open, they just, you know what I mean? So could there be a time in the future where you've got people who are accused of being pro-Russia literally being deported by a Democrat president who says that we have to get rid of all these Russian sympathizers? Yes, absolutely, if we're not careful. Would they be within their legal rights to do so? Yeah. Would it be constitutional? Probably. I mean, has it been definitively decided by the courts? No, but I would assume they would think that. All right, listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, your go-to contractors for all things when it comes to your home. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, doors, and so much more. Bathroom remodeling, Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division, and they remodeled the bathroom in our old home years ago. They did a fantastic job with it. It was beautiful. My wife was thrilled. And also, in addition to that, you're going to get a lifetime warranty on the roof. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and they do such a great job. Matt and Stephanie are going to blow you away with the work they do, guaranteed, and they make sure that they clean up when they're done. That matters. The integrity matters to me. It also matters to me a lot. It really does. It matters to me when we're talking about quiet craftsmanship and the kind of people that you use on the job. So that's why I highly recommend Emmons Roofing and Siding. And since I've used them for over 10 years in two different homes, you know that they're doing something right. So reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.